what these frequencies are, then I will line up to give them actual evidence. So that when we start working with these things, that we can consciously regulate our existence. And so the initiation is not what people think it is. Most people think it's a religious game. We don't have time for religion. We're involved in the science of cosmic reality, of actualization of ourselves through the atoms. But we can't go telling the public that because they're not ready for that. And so we have to water it down in religious language, and then we have to separate them into two categories, non-initiate and initiate. Initiate is a person who's got to prove that they want to involve with what they are instead of who they are. That's why we're selling it in a way that it's not just come and ask of a person for initiation. Years ago it was like that. Today now there is no ego games. It's a thorough science, and we want a person to realize that they can do the science by passing the different tests themselves and prove what they are. And all they have to do is to recognize these laws and start applying it to their existence. So your particular locking in at the time of the initiation is to the dissolving frequency, because that is the evidence in the test with the apple, that your energy moved into the atoms. So you identified it, and so then you work your way up to the other types.
Thank you. Yeah.
Maybe we might as well discuss it. The purpose of an initiate is not to wander away into a life of nebulous thinking or action. If you start off wondering where you're going or what you're involving yourself in, but as you advance, you realize that you're involved in an actual science of what you are, and not who you are. And if you have any doubts about the process, your first year or revolution around the sun, and the integration of your brain with the atoms through use of the atlas in measurement, this is your first actual breakthrough of the laws that we are talking about. As we move forward into it, more and more these laws are going to be validated by your top-notch scientists in the world. They've already done the breakthrough. And one of the things that we were hoping for, and this was 20 years ago when I first had it, we were hoping to have actual way to photograph the sound wave forming matter, holding it together and separating it. Now it's here as a fact that your mouth is your worst friend and best enemy. So if you don't realize that as an initiate, you're going to muck it up. So that's why we want the person to come to the realization that we are leaving churchianity and religious ideas behind us and moving on to the actual dynamic integration of ourself with the creative consciousness within ourself, and that we live in the now, and the essence of it is locked up in the mouth, and the actual moment-to-moment living is in the equiflow. Because the evidence shows that matter is held together by sound waves in a geometry and continue to remain in the geometry with sound waves, and it requires five of those sound waves to hold it in a three-dimensional shape and let it move. So when you look at yourself as a three-dimensional object and moving around, you are held together by five sound waves. That's why they call them the holy names. And in every mantra you'll find in the world, there are only five. They can't go beyond the five because there ain't any more. Om Mani Padmani Om is five. Adonai Elohim Echad, five. And in English, and Father One, quickest way to get your intimacy with the five. Or the five names that we gave you at initiation. But when you look at what those five words represent, or why the five vibrations lock into, then this makes it more factual. You can, the nebulousness is gone. You're dealing with sonic, gas, temperature, liquid, crystal. And you are the walking epitome of these forces with your mouth, organizing matter. Creative intelligence has set up this world already as elements, 144. Then we are put together in a three-dimensional form, incorporated by the five frequencies holding on to that 144. The elements have every right to harass us, but they don't have the right to kill us. You, the crystallized form in a three-dimensional shape, have every right to tell it to go play somewhere else, but it doesn't, you don't have the right to say you cannot exist. Therefore, your immortality is an actuality, and you have to grasp the moment of the now to breathe and live it. And that's the role of the realized person. And he starts off as she starts off as an initiate, one turned on or introduced to the actualness of themselves. But in the end, we all wake up to the fact that God became us. And so Brother Jesus would say, he that doeth the will of the Lord is my brother and my sister. He that followeth my word is my disciple. But a disciple is not above a master, and a master is not above a disciple. It's enough that they be friends, putting them right back in the same situation to accept each other as what? Brother and sister. You and I are here, but I can't breathe for you, and you can't breathe for me. And that's the facts, and therefore everything you see around you has a right to harass the heck out of you, but they don't have the right to kill you. And you have every right to tell it go play somewhere else, but you don't have the right to say don't exist. Therefore, from that moment on, cleaning your body up as the temple of the creative principle, and the creative principle is the voice speaking through it. That's why it says, build me a temple that I may dwell in the midst of the ion. In the core of the atom dwells within you as a form. You, the form, the who, is structured out from the what, which is the ion in it. And that's the essence of all the realization from now to midnight eternity. We don't have anything to offer the world other than to live the moment. But we're trying to phase out all the nebulousness as quick as we can, because the next 12 years, we don't have ways to interact with the fixations that people are constantly living in. The world is changing very fast, and we're all moving into the Aquarian cycle where we either live now and and make the transformation with the spoken word. And the point is, we have the choice to live, or to live, to die, to start over again, to come back to the understanding, to live. If we live to die, where do we go? You ain't going nowhere. You're not going any place other than reassembly room. That's what God is. The reassembliness of yourself back to start all over again is called another incarnation. And if you live to live, you have the option of working in all the rates of acceleration of the mass. And you total consciousness is there. Therefore, in the essence, the who is no longer an actual part of you. The what is the actual truth. Everyone is living through the time travel. There are no miracles, and the greatest miracle is the moment of now. But you have to live it by breathing. And when you live it by breathing, it allows you to appreciate what you are. So, from the way the apple breaks down, allows each one to lock in on their own atomic reacting principle with the sonics, and then they move on to the other four frequencies to be master of it. And we're trying to show with the tape that we brought how these songs are now being recognized within the mechanism, and that the healing of the body is within your own structure, and it's a matter of working with it and cleaning up the body. You have every right to have dominion over the element, and your greatest opportunity is having the temple composed of the 144 elements to express that right. The elements have every right to harass you and make you look stupid or bent up in any shape, but they don't have a right to take away your life from you. And you have every right to tell it to reorganize itself that you may function efficiently in it. And that's why it says, go forth, multiply, have dominion, not ownership. We cannot own the element, therefore we cannot cause them to non-exist. We can only give them the command to face down their harassment of us and go play somewhere else. So it doesn't matter what is wrong in the environment, hurricane, earthquake, avalanche, or whatever it is, you have the right to face it down. You have the right to tell it, go and do something else. But you can say it cannot exist. As an initiate, you have the right, from the evidence of the measurement of the sonics in your mouth to the atom in the apple, as a measuring stick. That's why we're told not to eat the apple, so that we have that valid right back given to us. You're working through to the other four resonances in your body, because we are a five resonant organism operating in a three-dimensional movement, which you call a polaristic movement. chemical, electrical, magnetic, and we move off, in, which gives us the right to be anti-gravitational, like a bird. But because we're fixated to our evolutionary structure, due to our thought processes, we have to go through the transformation of evolving till we accept what we are, not who we are. And then all the laws come back. Now, Equiflow is to get you ready to accept what you saw in that picture called the people. And you've got the tape that is coming up to show you the evidence of sonics controls matter and the internal constriction dilation of matter operates regardless. There is no sonics. It's what you call the intrinsic timing of the ion in you, the actual you. When that is recognized inside of you, then the, all these laws line up and you have the right to express it. They call it God in man or the Christ in man. This is manifestation, male or female. So it's to a glory of God that his manifestation amplifies his existence. We have the opportunity in a carbon-based body with the comprehension to grab the moment to make it a reality and not wait for another incarnation thinking we're left out. We're never left out, but we may never have the understanding to grasp the moment. We're not concerned with holier than thou. That doesn't give us reality. Understanding gives you the reality of the moment, what you are, and grasp that moment by the breath to live it. Then you're free men, all Lord of yourselves. If we don't grasp the moment in this carbon-based body, and we phase out by choosing not to breathe, all the creative intelligence can do with the 144 elements is reassemble it and start it all over again. But it can't disband it and throw it away. There's no place to go, and there's no place to come from. We are here. We are the here family. And Mr. Here is fat, and Mrs. Here is mutt, and we the children are bae. But understanding is not belief. The reason I didn't want to initiate people by merely asking me is because that would put me in an ego trip. So when I asked that the person have the approval, I was asking one of the hardest things possible out of the person, and that is love beyond belief. You've passed it. Anyone in this room who have been initiated by the approval process have established their link with their creative nature. And that is love beyond belief. You don't need gurus, you need you. But that's why I did it that way, so that you don't have a kowtowing belief attitude. You have a love that's in you that moves the atoms to approve you. So even if you don't sit down to meditate, you reflect upon that moment of approval, because that is the love beyond belief. And that's what Jesus wanted out of all of us, the love beyond belief. He called it with all of your mind, all of your heart, all of your strength, and all of your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Not like yourself, because they're stuck in the same charade. They got to make and do it themselves. You can't do it for them. You can't breathe for them. So you realize then, no matter how much your neighbor may be aggravating in their delaying their understanding, you have to love them through it. But you'll notice as you love them, you're operating constantly in the timing of things. And that's what's the magic of it. The timing makes it work so easily that everyone falls into place. We're coming on the plane today, and I'm entering on the seat, and there's a woman standing ahead of me, and she was trying to get into the seat number that because she wanted the window, but she didn't look at her ticket, and the one in the window was the one I had in my ticket. So I said, that's my seat. If you want to use it, fine. She said, no. She said, I'll take one that landed because I don't have to get up and go back and forth. I said, okay, sir. I sat down. Then the funny thing, she said, this is the first day in my whole life. I can't understand. She said, what? Everything seems to be on time. And then I'm keeping my big mouth shut. I said, oh, that's very interesting. She says, when did it happen? And she starts saying, well, on three instances from the time she left to where she had to go, all three instances were on time, so perfect she couldn't understand it. And she said, all her life she's never seen three incidences occurred so accurately on time.
Did you initiate her down?
She got initiated sitting right next to me. That's what I call love beyond belief. But she don't know. And she's looking out in the window, she's seen the clouds. She said, but those are raindrop clouds. Well, she's how some people get it. But what I'm trying to point out is that many of us are at that level of understanding, and that is what you have to open up, that understanding, to reestablish your oneness with creative intelligence. And creative intelligence is not somebody sitting on a throne waiting for you when you're dead. You know, kind of freak us out. Why would God want to sit on a throne and wait for dead people? That's my biggest question as a kid. So he's sitting there waiting. But when you're dead, well, nobody could answer it. So I come to realize when I fell off the building and broke all my bones up, I didn't see him sitting in the throne waiting for me. And it's the fact. But you see, we'd never have understanding when we were young growing up. And again, we never get understanding as a non-initiate. And the initiate starts off looking for something inside, never realizing what they're really looking for. And so to clear up the consciousness in order for them to get the quickest transformation of the truth is to line up in the mind. It's not a journey of who you are. It's a journey of what you are. And realization is not a goal. It's a process of living now, realizing what you are. That's why we have to look at the facts, and then as they have been validated more and more, we can live the now. So elements were set up by nature. They came before us, and we are a composition of it, but they don't have the right to kill us. And we have the right to have dominion over them, tell them what to do, but not to stop them from functioning. We can't say, you can't be an element no more. But we can say, go play somewhere else. So, for that reason, we have dominion. We don't have ownership over it. And life is the interreaction between the two expressions. So you are the epitome of it, and there are the environmental force field. And we need this harassment between the two to develop our immunity. So if the elements don't harass you, you can't get immune. And if you don't have dominion to tell them to shut up and go play somewhere else, you don't feel the right of authority to represent creative consciousness, but you have both. I understand my friend went to India. Is she here?
Yes.
Come tell us some interesting things about your visit in India. Here is that the understanding is opening up more, that all of them are saying the same thing, but the individuals are developing understanding, because that's the end result, to understand what you are. And once you understand what you are, not focus on who you are, you can live the moment now. That's basically what it's all about. But I'm glad that you were able to go there and hear it presented, understand what it's like. You see, if a teacher was truly necessary to be present, then the laws of physics are invalid. You can go right back to Jesus with the very first indication of that particular law, how it works. The centurion had a servant that was sick, and he wanted to ask Jesus to heal this servant. But his own physician said he couldn't do anything. And he didn't even want him to go and ask the Jewish man to heal him, because he's a Roman. But nevertheless, he went. And when he was on his way going, he had his own internal thought patterns. And then when they met, he said to Jesus, "If you but say the word, that means don't come to my house. If you just say the word, my servant will be well." Jesus made a comment, "Not in all Israel have I seen such faith. Go, it's done." The realization and the understanding goes into the actual physics. Your voice is resonance. Your structure is elements. They are held together in a three-dimensional form by that resonance. The man and his servant is the same formation. Elements held together by resonance. Now, this resonance is traveling so fast that we couldn't begin to calculate it. And the fastest we could ever get about it is speed of light, like a radio transmitter, radio wave, 186,000 miles a second is the transmission speed. Imagine our planet Earth is only approximately 8,000 miles in diameter. Where on the planet one who has the understanding as an initiate would be limited? Physics will tell you, my voice is hitting Mr. Grabacek, who grabs a check at 23 times a second. And he lives on the other side of the globe. But my voice is hitting his body 23 times in 1 second. So for that reason, anyone understanding the physics, his body's 144 elements, my voice is resonance that's holding it together in a three-dimensional form. But I don't have the right to impose upon him. He has the right to be sick if he wants to be sick. Just as much as he has the right to be well if he wants to be well. We don't have the right to take away the person's right to be sick until they ask. That's why Jesus would not go looking for the sick servant to heal it. The centurion had to go looking for Jesus to heal the sick servant. But he even didn't want to be exposed to the embarrassment of having the man in his house. So he said, if you say the word. And that applies to all of us. When we relate to any person in that state of oneness, that their state of oneness is their acceptance and understanding that they are the resonance involved with the 144 elements. And they live it moment to moment, waiting for us to recognize it. And all they're doing is encouraging us to understand, to apply it. The more you understand it, the more you will apply it. But it's not belief. There is no belief in it. It's the actual facts of how the laws are held together. And therefore, you only delay your own understanding and your own happiness by blocking it from fear. How you get rid of it? Mm. You don't get rid of fear.
How do you get through it if a lot of fear is subconscious?
Spell the word fear.
F-E-A-R.
No. Everything you hear with your ear in the F sharp state makes you feel sick, or in the F-flat state make you feel sick?
I'm sorry, then.
You hear with your ear in the F-sharp state make you sick, or in the F-flat state makes you sick?
I really don't know.
You are held together as 144 elements by a resonance. What would the F-sharp sound like?
Well, sharp, it would be harder on the ear than the flat.
Sound is broken down into 8 notes, holding this entire universe together in a 3-dimensional shape. You are held together by 5 of them. F sharp sounds like what?
G.
Hmm?
G flat.
G flat. Well, how does G flat sound? Hmm? ASM? All right, the scale is from A to G or A to F?
It is what?
Is the scale from A to G or
A to G, yeah.
Good. Then if G is the last note, would it be Do? Then what is the note before Do? The last Do? Good. You ever heard a kettle? What sound it makes? And you run right there because what? You're afraid it'll blow up the place? And every screeching sound like that creates what? The anguish of some dilemma? That's what an F flat note is. That's what fear is.
You know,
it's a sharp.
Sharp.
Yeah. That's why the English is the only language will free you once and for all of the devil that you think exists waiting on a throne for you or you're dead. And a God sitting on a throne waiting for you. The very words free you or make you bounded. And English is that one contribution to the living man to be. No other language can do it. I met the best in the land, but none can make it change ultimately, instantly, outside of English. A dog is man's best friend. Spell it backward, and it's still the man's best friend. You haven't changed nothing. Can you do that in any other language outside English? Then, do you have fear? Do you have love? Is not understanding your biggest reward for having been born to speak English? Who you think you were in your past life? A bunch of anyway, look at the check of the Maya over there. No, look at the other one. Come on, Samuel. Huh? We spoke all kind of ring-a-ma-dings. Took me born in the rainbow land to speak the international one sonic that will free us once and for all. We've come through many incarnations chanting the five elemental songs. Songs are all mantras made up of five notes, right to the last moment of now. And we have the physical evidence that matter is held together in the shape it is and continues to be in the shape by the five resonances. G, F, B, D, C, right? G, F, E, that's three, D is four, and C is five. I said five songs put you together, so you can be able. You're not held together by eight songs. You're brought into a living form, a three-dimensional moving form, by five songs. All your teachers give you mantra of the five. Because when you cross the fourth one, you're in the fifth range and you are master. your hand is a living testimony of the fact. That's why he put you together that way. This one runs the show. This way, this way. End of the show. If you go this way, these four will destroy it. If you go this way, these four are not as strong. If you go this way, all four with this one is strong. And that is the evidence that is being presented in the last 20 years now. The equipment is being developed to prove more and more you are walking sonics. And the initiate wasn't ready for it. Modern man hasn't been ready for it. It's the sick people who have to be sick first to become aware and then go through the non-initiate life, then to the initiate life. And then, as they travel back and forth to these different ashrams, hearing the information being told, gradually the understanding is emerging. And in the next 12 years, this understanding is the real Aquarian growth. We are not evolving in any magical ability. We're not evolving in any way to stop the universe from being as it is. We're evolving to the understanding of what we are in order to permanently function in the environment. Yeah. Hmm? They are your environment. Where would you put the water if there's no cup? Where would you function if you came before the environment? Where would they put you? Ask yourself that. Where would you put you as a form if there were no environment to be in the first place? If you came before the environment, what would they make?
Mm-hmm.
Satellite. Congratulations.
Satellite.
Remember, two of those notes repeat themselves. So the seventh one is the freedom. Five put you together. One is a repetition of it, and one is a free. So that's why that makes up our environment. We can't go out of the environment because we are the environment, and the environment came before us to allow us to exist as a manifestation of the truth. You're not a God. God became you out of the unified field of the elements, providing you individuality, utilizing five of those elements to hold you together as a three-dimensional form. No element in this universe can take three-dimension shape and move on its own momentum unless there are five sonic resonances bombarding it. Look around. Name anything that you know in the environment that can do what you do. Can the tree do it? Can the water do it? But a three-dimensional object moving within its own momentum would be what? Tissue. And you're the highest expression of tissue. You start off as the animated tissue called marine life. You move through the animal level to the human level by developing an intellect. So you go from your five senses of the marine animal into the intellect human. And last but not least, you make man, male or female, the release of your intuition. That's the radar in you. The five senses in you, like the animal, is the camera in you. You're born with your eyes totally like a cosmic camera, but your parents don't know, and they push salt in your mouth and they turn you down. They make you temporarily blind to the actual atoms of the environment. So you lose your convex vision or the ability to see through matter. But it cannot be turned off. Try as you could. None of those elements can turn it off. So they can harass you, leave you in a state of stupidity or ignorance for a heck of a long time. But then your brain will not live with that realization that it doesn't have a right to reactivate itself, to return back to your dominion state. You can't be a victim. You can't live in that state. So you're forced to seek within yourself what you are. In the meantime, while you're this camera state as a child, the parent has to program you like a computer. CAT is cat. Press replay, you must get CAT cat. But anytime you press replay and you get DOG cat, create in the computer. Got it? If you press CAT cat and you press replay, you get DOG, turn in your computer. Or go get it straightened out.
Donald, one last thing on the fears. I want to see if I've got it. In other words, fear on some level is always going to be with us because it's part of the sonic on the F. However, to minimize, to go through things, fear that is blocking us, we need to use the mantra, because that's sonic.
Yes.
The other thing that I can think is sonic has to do with Equiflow.
Yes.
Along with that is the tape that we have.
Yes.
That has the music as well as the pictures.
Yeah.
And then the latest thing that you brought last time, which I don't know what, can't remember the name of the instrument that had the well, we saw a tape, and then we had audio tape and a visual.
Yeah, I have it again. This trip we'll just demonstrate. You're hoping to get it. The point I'm getting, though.
That's how you get through fear?
Yes, but the most important thing, above all, is the actual memory that you're the sperm that got to the ovum, and you're a winner and not a loser. You bite it to make sure. If you're in doubt, you're afraid, bite your skin. This is valid. And if you breed, ain't no fear here. What can fear really do you? Take away your life? And if you do panic in the process of the fear, and you don't kill yourself by suicidal tendencies, the worst that can happen to you as a human being, you'll fall asleep. And the best that can happen to you as a human being, you wake up horny. It sounds comical, but that's the way God made us go forth, multiply, and have dominion. If I had made it that way, I'm stuck with it. But that's how God put it together. he knew that when he put this thing, we would be under every stressful charade of the elements. And that's why he gave the elements the power to be ahead of us in the sonic resonance, to challenge the geometry in any possible way, but not the right to kill it. Now we have every possible control in this geometry, 5/2, to tell the elements, go play somewhere else. We don't have a right to say they cannot exist. So that means there is no non-existence or no death process assigned to any function as a right to behave. Life is life, and it doesn't offer death. It offers life. But ignorance will make us make the wrong actions. Then we have the victimization of the ignorance. So then we can be hurt by it. No. That's why the Eastern man called the victimization karma. That's how you have to go through your karma. But when you understand, while going through the karma, you can break the karma and be free. So you're no longer a victim of the karma. Great as Jesus was, if he refused to be nailed on the cross, what would happen to Judas?
He would have been resurrected.
Yeah, but he would have betrayed Judas. Judas wouldn't get a chance to betray him. Haha, good, you see? So each person has to live out their what? Their worst agony with their best results, because both men attain resurrection. Because they're living out the process.
But you said we could break the karma.
And that's what the thing is. You're not breaking out from the act. You're breaking from the fixations of what the thing means to you.
And so Jesus did that when he went through the process.
That's right. Judas didn't think he betrayed Jesus and feel agonized by it. He had to perform the act, he had to perform the act. And Jesus had to perform the act of dying on the cross and not feeling what? Incompetent. So each one live out, and both of them got their reward. It may seem crude that they go through the process, but the reward is still the same. They had their immortal nature established within themselves, once and for all. The act of betrayal may seem to be very, very negative from this observer standpoint. It may be even more destructive to the person who is doing it, that is partaking in it. And it may even seem miserable for the person who have to endure it being done to them. But in the end, the process is that all of them came out fulfilling their role with the true understanding of what they were doing. And that the understanding is the process. So we have the understanding to rise above the limitations of the environment. And so the fear is going to be threatening us. And it's threatening us from the mere fact that our Father did not ask us permission when he threw us out the sperms. It's the origin of your fear. But you're a winner. That's the compensation. The sperm that got to the ovum is not a loser. Therefore, end of the misery of the fear, because you can cope with any fear that comes along. That's the process. You can live the process once you look at the actual facts of what you are, not who you are. But if you look at who you are, you'll always be miserable with the fear and be self-destructive. But if you look at what you are, you'll master the fear anytime it pops up. And the worst it can ever do is to take your life. But it's not designed to take your life unless you act incompetently to it. If you're acting in a relation to the fact that you're a winner, if you don't panic, that's the whole idea. Rule number one, don't panic. Rule number two, don't panic. Rule number three, don't panic.
But Jesus lost his life. But Jesus lost his life.
Lost his life? How?
Well, the body was dead. Well, you fell off a building and you had a choice and you didn't lose the body.
If I didn't breathe, the body can do nothing.
Right.
And it wouldn't do anything if they, when they cut the cord the first time.
Right.
What does the body got them?
Got the breath.
But then who gives the breath?
Well, God gives the breath.
Then who is the, coming inside me?
God.
And who wants to stay inside of me?
God.
Providing I do what?
Breathe.
And that means I accept the breathe. I bring you a gift.
Right.
You don't want it, what are you going to tell me?
Take your gift back.
Good. Then can I force you to take it?
No.
Then that's exactly why it's a gift. The gift of breath is the greatest opportunity for beingness to be a form. It has no opportunity to be a form unless it accepts life as a gift. It cannot demand life as a to be a form. Sung makes geometry come together. Geometry cannot force Sung to make it come together. Therefore, by virtue of this process, we are given one quality. It's called individuality, or the ability to receive the gift of life to, in order to be a form. Understanding that you are free once and for all from all the so-called nebulousness of hell, and you're entitled to all the wonderfulness of heaven. But we will make a hell out of ourselves, because why? We're afraid to look at the quality of what we are and how we're put together. But if you look at how we're put together, ain't nobody here gonna make you sick but yourself with your mouth. And that's what I had to learn, that the gift of life is there. If I breathe, fine. If I don't, so that's what individuality. Individuality is that choice. Now, do you ever look a gift horse in his mouth? You're not supposed to, right? But that's what the, why the thing is called the gift of God to his own creation or manifestation. In order for him to enter, he gives it as a gift. It's kind of a rough where you have to sort it out. When you understand, after you sort it out, you'll see it couldn't have been put together any better. To be the recipient of the gift, which is your individuality. And now, here's the unusual quality of individuality. These are things that have never been told to people. Individuality cannot be revoked once given. And by virtue of that, it is the cosmic lever that that physicist was trying to look for. If he could find the right lever, he would move the what? The world. Well, you didn't find the right lever. You were too busy looking for something else. When the right lever was what? The world of the elements that hold this whole thing together by sonics is locked up in the lever of individuality. Now, Big Daddy and Big Mother, are they punching the clock to be a parent? Or are they punching customers? Do they go to an assembly line to work and pick up the paycheck to run the show? Or are they running their own business? Good. And if they're running their own business, then here is your leverage as individuality. The man who runs a country doesn't like another man to tell him he's going to work for himself, because then he lost his first slave, his first servant. That's how come they got rid of Paul. Then he said he was going to be a tent maker after he got born again. He wouldn't work for the Roman people. And you know what? They didn't want him no more. Thumbs down on Mr. Paul. Get rid of him. Because all the other people would be what? Breaking away from their chains to be what? Independent people. Same thing is happening in the cosmos. Our individuality is our freedom. It's the link that holds us to the reality. We have the option to punch the customer instead of punching the clock. And that's why we say, when you know the truth of what you are, then you develop your consciousness to serve others by working for yourself.
It's a part of taking the responsibility of your own self. It is healthy to manifest your own business, because it keeps it consciously that you're your own driver.
Yes.
You're your own individual.
Yeah. But if
you're a winner.
But if your Father in Heaven put it together that way, and he's operating inside of you, is he not happy when you decide to express that quality instead of the other one, punching the clock? So that's why he gave us this particular condition to sort out a who and a what. So when you decide inside of yourself that you want to perform a service, then this is what the lever is. Big Daddy and Mother, you don't punch the clock, you punch customers. I want to punch customers, and I want to have the capacity to do it. I'll do the dirty work, you keep the flow going. So you get down on your knees and you scrub the dirt, and they keep the flow going, because why? They're the ones who will move the people to provide the services needed. And you will be the person who will know the knowledge to provide that service. And your knowledge comes from studying your horoscope. Your sign will give you the indication that you qualify, and you'll be surprised. It moves in that time frame. If you look back to everyone who is working for themselves, they're a living example of their horoscope, that their particular sign of the zodiac. That's why Paul and Saul and Solomon, all these men, realized that time is the essence of the thing. Solomon especially, when he said there's a time and a place and a season for everything. And the three guys who went looking for Jesus in his spaceship, you know, think of it, three guys going to leave their kingdom to go look for somebody in a manger. They got to be pretty smart to leave it, because they were kings, number one. And you just don't walk away from your throne, number two. In those days, Uncle Harry and Sarah Jones will take away your throne from you. So you got to know your astrology pretty good to go walk away from it to come back. See, these are things we're looking at. The people who work for themselves, people who know the what over the who. And that's what the initiate is. The initiate is a person who is moving from the passenger to the driver of their own car. But you start off becoming the driver of your own car by first focusing on Lord Health, not Lord Dollar. When Lord Health is taken care of, and that's prime motivation, then Lord Dollar begins to serve Lord Health. But if you make Lord Dollar the prime motivation over Lord Health, then Lord Health will let you down and they'll bury you. You can't use dollars when they bury you. You need your health. So to focus on your health first and get it straightened out, then your consciousness opens up to be more and more aware how to work for yourself. Then Lord Dollar starts moving. That's the reason why we say the initiate is different than the non-initiate. We're not going looking for them. It's when they're ready. That's why they say when the student is ready, someone is there. When you're ready to accept getting behind the car and driving your own car, which is your own consciousness, in charge of your own nature and responsibility, there's always those people there to give you the direction.
You were talking about a video. Is that the one you saw, or is there
another one? That's awesome. I have it there.
It's a different one?
No.
What's the name
of it? Yeah, it's of a fellow called Mr. Manners. Have you ever seen that one? Yeah. It shows you how he takes a sound and makes matter move.
Oh, sure.
If you see that, then you begin to understand that matter is controlled by sound waves. But that's the essence of why we are initiates. That our whole existence is regulated by our mouth. And then religion starts off in an agricultural way of telling us it. But then we are leaving the churchianistic and the religious background and moving on to the actual living of it, which is the physics and the science of it. And it's not a materialism, it's the actual principles of nature, how it's set up. That sound holds us together. Someday, you know, we'll all be doing like Giri Bala in the autobiography of a yogi. You know Giri Bala in the autobiography of a yogi? That's the woman that didn't eat?
Oh, okay.
Good. But the woman that didn't eat. Now, just picture a few more years from now, you're going to go into the store and get a biosonic regulator. And you punch the meals you want to eat. Including all the basic minerals that are necessary for your body. The regulator will tabulate what is deficit in your body and then gives you the breakdown quantity for breakfast, lunch and supper. You punch it on the regulator and then you put your hand on top of the receiver and feel the electrical wave go through your body. A few minutes you had your breakfast, you got work. Then you'll be living what is called the technological Giri Bala. You didn't put nothing through your mouth, but you did what? Sonic induction to the chemical resonances of mass floating around in the air as atomic ions. So man, this manifestation, doesn't live by indirect forms of the atoms coming through them are called bread. But by every resonance or word that goes through the tissue, known as the motor god in the hypothalamus area of this medulla oblongata, we are moving towards that technology already. All our biblical information coming through in an agricultural way is on the verge of being actualized in the technological way for modern men to look at a God having become him. Not we becoming a God, but God has become his creation and would take it to the ultimate experience of understanding. So the fruit of your development is the understanding of the actuality of you. There are no need for miracles. There is the need for love beyond belief. It's a love that allows you to work with the actualness of the atom around you.
Jody and Becky give all the time and all the time unselfishly of their homes and their energy. I was wondering if you would ever consider spending time someplace else, if you would ever consider doing that so we could have more time with you when you're here.
I don't have any say the matter rather than when I come through the time that I have allotted to me.
I'm thinking of like the movie. You know, we have a schedule of when you're going to be available to spend time with us. And after the solar workshop at 5 o'clock tomorrow, there's no time planned to be with you,
there's anything planned after the workshop. That's what we will left the time open. That after the workshop, what the group would like to do after the workshop, so that we could involve more information about the data. So that's why we have the workshop in the daytime, and then the evening was left free. And to the opportunity of those who want to go more into the meditative and questions, this was the option.
Okay, I didn't understand.
No, this is why we had nothing planned. We left it free for in order to questions would come up for what we would want to do. That's when I asked her what would it plan. She said in the daytime we had the workshop and the nights were left free for the group to decide what we could do at night and get together.
I know the last time we were here, we were going to watch two different films.
Mm-hmm.
One was short, and we watched that one, and then we were going to watch the other one, which was a couple hours long, and we never got around to seeing that.
Yeah.
I was hoping we could see
that. This one you'll see it now. We'll cover it.
Okay, good.
Now, this trip we're going to cover most of those things because we're trying to get the individual to be able to understand when we're dealing with the technical machinery that they involve, how they can best relate to it.
So I thought, gee, that's a good idea because
really overdo this flipping and flying tonight.
I have quarters all over the house.
I got dimes. I got dimes in the kitchen and dimes in the bedroom. And then sometimes I think, well, now, what was that? And what did I decide was his, or and then I do it again? You know, and so I just wondered, is that kind of crazy to rely on that very much?
You came to my place in Houston?
Yeah.
How many boxes you see there with little coins in it on the table in the kitchen?
Well, I saw a lot of coins there.
Yeah, that's for awful flipping.
Oh, really? I thought it was the main change for
people. We use it to make change, too.
Yeah,
let me point out this thing. Decision making, if we can't see the future, and that's why man prays for three things and doesn't know why he prays for three things. One, he prays for health. Two, he prays for the abundance to take care of the health. And three, he prays for guidance to live with the abundance to take care of his health. So we ask for health, abundance, and guidance. Those are the three major driving motives in our existence. Guidance is to know before you act so that you don't go broke. So no matter how much you got, you want guidance to know what to do before you make the wrong decision to go broke. And no matter how much you know what to do with your money, if you don't have the health to take care of it, it's going to go down the drain. So you see, it's a trilogy in its own nature, pulling us in constant conflict with guidance. So, even a man who sees tomorrow can't live tomorrow before he finishes today. And at the very last minute of when he's going to live what he saw of tomorrow, 9 times out of 10, he never lives it that way when it comes up to live. That's why Yukteswar said, the stars foretell, but they don't compel, because you can never rehearse tomorrow. And it's a moment of opportunity whenever you live it. It's ever new. And the condition is not going to be the way you think you saw it, because the moment of survival is different than the moment of anticipation of the view of the thing you wish to do. So that moment that you're living, the survival, is all the moment you have. It's called pearl of great price. It cannot be exchanged, given away, or relived. So all the pearls of great price in your existence contribute only to one thing: being alive now. It doesn't contribute to anything else. So flipping the coin to get your ego out of the way in order to act is a way in the ancient men went to the oracles to ask what to do. And even they went to the seer who could see, and the prophet who can prophesy, to live the intricate moment of the situation. They could never tell you, because they can't decide the survival reaction for a human being. Each individual survival reaction is totally individualistic to the person. Therefore, you must live the moment in your individuality to function. Why? The memory bank of the fact that you are the sperm that got to the ovum to be born a winner was not done by another human being out of your timing or in their timing. You did it in your timing, and you will always be in time with your timing when you relate to it. So flipping the coin or not flipping the coin, guidance is an indicative condition of survival. So when you stress out under the nature of the fear, if you're going to act or not, it's that moment when you act would be all you have. So wise men have said, get your ego out of the way. And if you get your ego out of the way, then creative intelligence, who put the whole thing together for the benefit of the stress and the accomplishment over the stress, would give you the right guideline. And so a coin flipping at the last moment, or reading the I Ching, and even the I Ching can leave you in a quandary of words. You can't be in a quandary between yes, no, because the coin can only say yes or no. Heads you do, tails you don't. So you got rid of the maybe. Adano likes to say yes, no, maybe. But when he has to make a decision in the moment of survival, he only uses yes, no. So I get my own ego out of the way, and even I can still flip the coin, yes, I do, tails I don't. But I have learned, if ever I apply the law of the yes, no, I must live it. If I don't and I try to make, I'm going to fool myself, then I must pay the consequences because it will let me down. So many times I flip it and it will say no. And deep down I want to do it because I feel I got to do it. But I don't do it. And it turns out exactly what it's supposed to be. And there are times when I deliberately go against it, only to find out that it was right and I was wrong. Then I began to realize that sonics is the determining factor of the existence of the structure. So when I say yes or no, that's an affirmative, and because I take the ego out of the way, I'm not touching the object, and I'm allowing the element force which the object is made, the element principle in which I must function, and the timing factor between the incident that I must face, these laws must pull together in a timing process. And this is what they call the ubiquitous periodicity of matter. You know ubiquitous? It's a nice fancy word. You got dictionary? The ubiquitous, periodicity.
No, that probably explains why. Should I go swimming now? And I really want to. And so that's, yes, I mean, yes, I do. So then I get a phone call or I do some little thing. And I think, oh good, well now I go swimming. Let's see, I was okay, and I flip it and it says no. And I'm so disgusted, and I think, well, you know, what should I be doing? I mean, it said
But you see, the thing is this, here you're seeing it, when you didn't do it, the phone rings. Now if you'd gone swimming, would you admit you would have missed the phone?
Well, okay, but sometimes maybe I think it would be better to go lower something first. And then I'm very disgusted to find that I cannot get a heads out of that thing, no matter what.
One of the hardest things is to go against a desire. When laws of physics are showing you that you must make the effort to go against it, you don't know what the reward is until you go against a desire by the law of physics indicating you must not, though you crave to do it. There's a reward waiting for you. But you have to go through the process before you find it out. There are many other things that may be popping up right at that moment that you have to take care of. And because you have the desire to do something, and you go fulfill the desire, that which is supposed to be fulfilled or taking place, you never got it.
With a mother and her little girl. Well, there was mutterings of thunder and of some flashes, so I flipped the coin and said, no, no swimming. So then they came over, and so I said, kids, we go swimming, we can go swimming in about a half an hour. So it indicated that we could go swimming in about a half an hour, so we were waiting there. So then we went over, but, you know, I could not, I think I flipped that coin, like, I don't know, 40 times or something. And it's okay for everybody else to go swimming, but not me. So I sat there. Well, actually, just the little girl went swimming. The mother was going to watch anyhow. So I sat there with the mother in my bathing suit, and I was dying to go swimming. And finally, after all this time, and everybody, we were talking, it was while I flip it, you know. It came up, and the thing is, I would switch it, and I think, I'm just getting tails all the time. All right, tails, I go swimming. And all I would get would be heads. I did that over and over. It was just, I mean, the mathematical chances of this happening was fantastic. Finally, I got the go-ahead. So I dove in, and the only thing I could think of is that the water was really quite cold. This little kid wanted to swim, and she wanted to swim for about an hour. And if I had, and it was just right, when I got in, she was about ready to cave in about a half an hour, you know. And that was, and I was getting really numb, so.
Well, look at it this way, for your future understanding and the benefit. An action to be performed is for who or the what?
Is for who or the what?
Or the what?
For who?
No. All actions that are performed are for the what. That's why you can never perform actions for a who. Whatever you do, and whenever you do it, is only for what you are, because it's called survival. And that moment cannot be rehearsed, cannot be relived, and it's constantly ever new. So all your incidences that have taken place from the day you came into the planet to this very moment, each one of them are totally unique and had to be lived the way they were experienced.
Even if one went against the flipping of a coin and said,
yes,
even the lesson you learned and all.
That's right. That's why there is no sin in this universe. There are only good and lousy decisions. The good decisions are the ones you recognize, and the lousy ones are the ones you fail to recognize. But they all will be fulfilled. That's the funny part about it. And a lousy decision isn't lousy anymore because you survived the worst of it. You didn't die in it. So then all decisions were what? Good decisions. So even if it's wrong, you flip in the coin and show the actual decision making in terms of your own survival is the process involved. You can't live an action and be functional if it's going to destroy you. Nature does not give none of the elements the right to destroy you, just as much it doesn't give you the right to stop them not to function. And it's that critical point why when you're flipping the coin, you're getting your ego out of the way, because the action you need to perform is in respect to this law of life, not death. You don't want to perform an action that will destroy the body and place the liability on some incident. That's why the masters all say this: I will and I will act, but guide all my will and acts to the right place, the right time, for the right experience. I don't care if the experience is harassing. All I ask is the strength to go through it. So for that reason, I couldn't spend my time repeating that mantra when I got so many decisions to make. So I said, quickest way is to flip a coin. Heads I do, tails I don't. And if I live it, fine. If I don't live it, I'm the one who must suffer the consequences. Well, I experimented with both. And you know the funny thing? After you flip it so many times, you begin to see it doesn't let you down. It gives you the correct reading. And then if you do a kinesiological test, it'll match it. There are many other ways to match that principle, because it is biologically answering your existence to survive. It's not giving you an answer for you to break down. It doesn't want you to break down or to be in a jeopardy with your health. It wants you to perform and stay functional. So if it says no, the time may not be right. Go along with it, and then the time will come right. If it says yes, go along with it. That's the right time. And the essence of all of these things is time.
The question about flipping the coin then, to put my question about myself, and I put whether I should take him to the hospital, and it said no. And looked at him, everything said, go to the hospital. So I didn't take him, but Drew took him.
And
they both came home. My question was it appropriate to put the coin on a matter of someone else?
The result is, going to the hospital, what happened? And then what happened?